My name is Mike Morgan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is A Distinctive Sound. Our text, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 7 through 10. Have you ever heard an orchestra tuning up before a performance? How did it sound? Squeaky, unrecognizable. It was just a bunch of noise. But when the conductor waves his baton, the musicians play in harmony, and beautiful music comes forth. Discussing the confusion of tongues in the Corinthian church, Paul said, "Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? If these were to utter mere sounds without order or melody, no person could recognize a tune or receive pleasure from such discord." Paul goes on, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" Numbers chapter 10 records Israel's journey towards the promised land. The nation of Israel had been camped at Mount Sinai for 11 months and 20 days before beginning their journey to the wilderness of Paran. Look at Numbers chapter 10 verses 1 through 7. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movements of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camp that lies on the east side then shall begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance." God told Moses to make the trumpets from one piece of silver. No other metal could be mixed with it. This is a reminder of the purity of the gospel and the unity of the faith. The gospel of Christ is not to be mixed with the doctrines or ideas of men. Not only were the trumpets to be constructed according to God's pattern, the sons of Aaron, the priest, were the only ones authorized by God to blow the trumpets. Verse 8. "Neither the Levites nor any in the common ranks of the people could be employed in this office of signal giving." Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. Gospel preachers and all faithful Christians are modern day watchmen who give the people counsel and warning from God. Their message, "Save yourself from this perverse generation and serve the Lord in spirit and truth." God's people must speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. They must offer book, chapter, and verse in context for all that is said, taught, and practiced. Before sharing the saving message, Christians must first remove the beam out of their own eye. Then they will see clearly to help others go to heaven. God instructed the people how the trumpets were to be used and the meaning of each sound. When both trumpets were blown, all of the assembly was to come together for either a joyful or solemn assembly. In Joel chapter 2, the nation of Israel had sinned and departed from God. Verse 1 says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain.
Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. They were to call a solemn assembly and turn back to God with all their heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Joel 2, verses 12 and 13. When one trumpet was blown, only the leaders were to gather. Another sound was to signal the movement of the camps. When they went to war, they were to sound the alarm with the trumpet, and God would save them from their enemies. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. Now, think about the various sounds of the trumpet and their meaning. Suppose the one who blows the trumpet said, "A sound is a sound," and he made up his own notes. Would that be acceptable to God? Could God's people know what to do? Or suppose each tribe decided on their own what the sound of the trumpet signified. The tribe of Dan said, "I don't believe when both trumpets are blown that all the people were to assemble together." The tribe of Naphtali said, "When one trumpet is blown, it's dinner time." The tribe of Zebulun says, "When the alarm for war is sounded, if you're not too busy, report for duty." And the tribe of Gad says, "The sound of the trumpet does not apply to us." Can you see the confusion that would exist if every tribe had its own interpretation of the sound from the trumpet? At this time, Israel had grown to over 2 million people. Someone might say, "Do you believe God expected all these people to interpret the trumpet in the same way?" Absolutely. Never has there been a time in Old Testament history when a command of God had two different meanings and both were correct. If God did not tell the children of Israel how to make the trumpets and give direction how they were to be used, then he could not hold them responsible for getting it wrong. The fact that a generation died in the wilderness and future generations were carried into captivity proves that they were held responsible by God for disobedience. Well, someone else might say, "God did not specifically say, 'Thou shalt not place your own interpretation on the sound of the trumpets.'" Though God did not list all the restrictions of what not to do, they could look at the mistakes of their forefathers and learn that God's commandments were not to be altered for any reason. Once God tells us what to do, everything else is eliminated. The gospel of Christ is God's trumpet or sounding today. The Bible is God's message to a lost and dying world. And the New Testament gives us the pattern for the church, the plan of salvation, and directions for godly living. Does every man have the right to his own interpretation of Scripture? The religious world says, yes. Today people say, as long as a man loves God with all of his heart and is sincere in his interpretation of what the Bible says, he is acceptable to God. Can every man choose what he wants to believe and who he will serve? Yes. Does every man have the right to his own interpretation of Scripture? No. Whenever you have a passage in the Bible that tells man what he needs to do in order to be saved, the religious world is running in all different directions. For example, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Just turn on the radio and listen to all the different sounds that comes from the subject of baptism for the remission of sins. It is estimated that there are over 7 billion people on the earth. Someone might say, do you believe God expects all people to interpret the Bible in the same way? Absolutely. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. John 17, verses 20 and 21. Paul said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. 3 times in the Bible, God says, do not add to or take away from my commands. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. No one has the right to change any part of God's revelation to man, and those who do will forfeit their soul. If God expected the nation of Israel and the heathens in the Old Testament to worship Him according to one pattern and punish them when they fail to do it, what makes us think that there is more than one acceptable way to worship God today? And here is the answer. Satan says, choose the church of your choice. You will not surely die. The sound of the trumpet had different meanings. Gospel preaching does not fasten on one subject, but covers the whole counsel of God. There needs to be sermons for those who are discouraged, negligent, those outside of Christ, and a host of other topics. There must be balance in preaching, teaching, and also in our personal study of the Bible. All of us have certain books we enjoy studying more than others, but this will not do. We should not spend the majority of our time studying favorite chapters or favorite books. We must study the Old and New Testament in order to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The trumpet was designed to call God's people to attention and obedience. This is the purpose of preaching, studying the Bible, and attending worship. Whenever we pick up the Bible, we need to realize that God wants our attention. One reason we go astray is because we do not give careful attention to God's Word. It is significant that the first parable Jesus spoke was the parable of the sower. This parable has to do with hearing the Word of God. Afterwards, his disciples asked him what it meant. Jesus said, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? If they did not learn how to hear, they would never progress from milk to maturity. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said to the 7 churches of Asia, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It is not an accident that the first parable Jesus gave had to do with hearing, and the last letter directed to the church has to do with hearing. Hearing properly is essential to growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. The greatest danger that we face is hearing and not giving attention. The Hebrews writer admonished his audience to take very seriously the warning from Old Testament history. The writer exhorts them to be fearful, lest they should come short of the rest of God which was still available to them. The phrase, come short, means to come too late through one's own fault, to miss, fail to reach, or to be excluded. For indeed the gospel, good news, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Hebrews 4 verses 1 and 2. Good news in this context is not the gospel of the New Testament. It is rather the good news that the Israelites could come out of the bondage and enter into God's rest. They heard the good news, but just hearing is not enough. The word must be received with faith that the promise will be kept. This message is just as true for us today. The goal of heaven is set before each and every one of us. Will we be diligent in our faith and reach it, or will we come short? The commands of God was the basis of Israel's faith. Whatever they did was to be under the direction of God. It cannot be overemphasized that our faith rests on what God says in His Word, not some still small voice, not the majority vote of a convention, not what I believe with all of my heart is right. When we get the idea that we can believe things that the Bible does not teach, we are headed over the cliff of destruction. This is not Bible faith. Today, the word faith is used when it comes to our opinion. Our faith rests on divine testimony. Not only must we read it in the Bible, but Scripture must be understood in the context of what the entire Bible teaches on the subject. Numbers chapter 10, verse 13. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. They were directed by the cloud. The cloud told them when to move. They were to move by faith. And you know, this is always the case. We grow by knowing what God wants and doing what God commands. We will see that as they move through the wilderness, Israel did not trust God. They followed the direction of the cloud, but they did not trust God and got into difficulty. Suppose they saw the cloud move and decided to stay where they were. Faith always follows directions. One cannot have Bible faith unless he follows the directions given in the Scripture. We cannot take various things that are taught in the Bible and rearrange them any way we want. Take, for example, the matter of faith and baptism. Suppose we immerse, pour water over a baby. After the child is grown, then they are taught to believe. We have faith and baptism, but it is not scriptural for two reasons. First, because scriptural baptism is an immersion, not sprinkling or pouring. And second, baptism is for repentant sinners. A baby has no sin. Not only must we follow the things specified in the Bible, but if there is an order, we must follow that order. According to God's Word, you must hear God's Word in order to have faith. Romans 10:17. You must believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God and Savior of man. John 8, verse 24. You must repent of sins. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. You must confess the name of Christ before men. John 11, verse 27. You must be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And in order to go to heaven, you must remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. This is the plan of salvation. This is the order one must follow. One cannot believe in Christ without hearing what God's Word says about Him. One cannot confess Christ as Lord and Savior without repenting of sins. One cannot be saved without repentance and scriptural baptism, being immersed. In Numbers chapter 10, verses 29 through 32, Moses invites Hobad, a relative by measure, to come with them to the promised land. Remember, at this time, the cloud was leading Israel through the wilderness. Why would Moses need Hobad to be eyes for him? The answer, Hobad was familiar with the desert. He would know where the water and pastures were for them to feed their flocks. It was not a lack of faith on Moses' part, or was it meant to be a substitute for being directed by the cloud? Here is an invitation given to one who was outside of Israel. I believe this is a reminder that the gospel is for all. The fact that God spoke good of Israel did not mean that every single Israelite would enjoy that good unconditionally. The book of Numbers records that there was a great number in Israel who did not go over into the promised land in spite of the fact that God had spoken good unto Israel. There is a lesson in this that you and I need to learn. God has spoken good concerning the church. But whether or not individual members enjoy that good will depend on our faithfulness. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. All men are on a journey through this world. God offers to be their guide, and if they follow Him, He will direct them to the Canaan of eternal rest in heaven. If they reject Him and continue to walk in their own way, they will enter eternity through the wide gate and take their seat beside the rich man. Israel believed that since God spoke good of Israel, their individual conduct did not matter. But it did. If we ever get the idea that because I am a member of the church, that it doesn't matter how I act or whether I allow the gospel to remold and remake my life, one day when it is too late, we will find out that we failed to reach the promised land of heaven and regret it for eternity. Paul said, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thank you so much for studying God's Word with us.